You raise your hand. Ushers have some extras. They'd love to give you one. And we'll get into our message. The title of my message is What's in a Name? What's in a Name? Did you know names are important to God? Names in the Old Testament and even somewhat in the New Testament, particularly the Old Testament, names were different than the kind of names that we have now, you know, like Bill or Joe or Bob. That, you know, the names back then were like big words. They described something. They basically talked about maybe where the person came from or where they were going or some attribute of the person. So names are important to God. And if you think about it, Christmas is all about a name. The name that's above every name. Isn't it about the name of Jesus Christ? Jesus, of course, in the Hebrew, it would be Yeshua HaMashiach. And in Latin, actually the word Christmas is a transliteration of the Latin Christes Maeses. Maeses means celebration. Christ is the anointed one. So Jesus was like his given birth name. Sometimes he was called Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus from Galilee. But when we say Jesus Christ, it denotes the word Christ, meaning the anointed one, the anointed one. People can be anointed. Kings were anointed. The Bible says you're anointed. But there was only one anointed one, the one who would take the sin of the world upon himself, the Messiah, HaMashiach. And that's what Jesus Christ, his name Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. So when we look at Christmas, a celebration of the Christ. It's the name above every name. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel speaking to Joseph about this supernatural virgin birth that was taking place in his midst, and he's talking about Mary. The angel says to Joseph, she will bear a son and you will call his name Jesus. They had to have a specific name. The angel named him Jesus or Yeshua, Savior. Look what it says. He'll name him Jesus for he will save his people from their sin. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. It's the hope of the world that we can have our sins forgiven. Otherwise, we have to pay for our sins. We have to bear our sins. We have to suffer for our sins. Christmas says you can be free from your sins. And then two verses later, the Bible quotes a passage in Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It reiterates this verse, which says this, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You say, well, I thought, well, two verses earlier, you said Jesus. Well, it's the meaning of the name. They understood they weren't going to call him that, but he is called that because of what it means. And then it goes on and says, which translated means God with us. Not just a God who's out there somewhere, but yeah, that's good news. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us. That's what Christmas means. God is with us. That's his name. Not just Savior out there somewhere. Who is he? Where is he? But God with us. And then in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, therefore also God exalted him and bestowed, talking about Jesus, right? Bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Yeah. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Do you know one day everybody, I don't care if they're an atheist, they said they don't believe God exists, they don't believe that there's heaven, they don't believe that there's hell. One day every knee will bow to him. And it's, look what it says. Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, those who are on the earth, and those who are under the earth. That's talking about in the belly of the earth being hell. Acts chapter 4, it says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Yeah, name is important. The Bible also says that demons tremble at his name. The Bible says people are healed by his name. The Bible says there's deliverance in his name and there's blessing in his name. Some of the names that they gave Jesus in the Bible, again, just to magnify certain aspects of him and who he was, names such as Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Emmanuel, Bright and Morning Star. Next week I want to dig more into his name, but today I have a question for you. What's your name? I don't mean the name that's on your birth certificate. I mean the name that you call yourself in your inner thoughts, in your inner time, when you're facing something difficult. What name do you have for yourself? What do you call yourself? Jesus knew who he was. He had a name, and he knew who he was and what he called himself on the inside, enabled him to encounter all the challenges and the difficulties that he had. And sometimes we get the wrong name on the inside. We get a diminished name, a name that says I'm not enough. And when I face circumstances, I fall back on that name, and it makes me make the wrong decisions. Christmas is all about victory. Victory over sin, over death, over hell, over the past, and even over your own past. If there's any message in Christmas, it's not that we're just celebrating something that's happened. It's we're celebrating something that's happened that's relevant to your life today that can give you victory over such things as what I want to talk about is what is your name? What's on the inside of you? Has someone else named you something other than the name that God has for you today? Has someone give you a lower name, a diminished name, a name that hinders you instead of the name that God would have for you that would cause you to accelerate and to go forward and to do great things? Have you accepted a name that's been put on you maybe by a parent, by a teacher, by an enemy or a schoolmate, a friend, society, yourself, even the devil? You know, the old saying was sticks and stones will break my bones, but names can never hurt me. But in over 40 years of counseling people in Christian ministry, I've never once had somebody come and say, I need God to help me because of the stick somebody threw at me or a stone. It's almost always a name. It's always words. It's something that people said. I think the opposite is true, that names do hurt you. But it depends on how you react to them. It's possible that the names don't hurt you. I understand what the saying is saying. It's just a name. It can't like physically hurt me. But what I found out, it can emotionally hurt you if you grab it. And unfortunately in life, you and I have grabbed names that people threw flippantly at us. And the devil has used it as an arrow into our soul that has kept us from becoming everything that God wants us to be. That's what I want to talk about to you. It's possible that names don't hurt you. But it's also possible that they do hurt you. It's up to you. And the good news I want to share with you today is if you realize you've picked up a name that you don't want and that God doesn't have for you, we can get rid of it. And that's what I want to do in this message and between now and the end of the year is get ready for the next year by getting rid of baggage that we don't want. How many of you have ever heard of a guy named Joel Osteen? He's a preacher on TV. I used to love to listen to his father, John. He was a precious man. Joel Osteen said that when he graduated high school, he was 4 feet 11 inches tall. He was pretty short. In fact, he played on the basketball team in high school, and people would say, what's that little kid doing out there on the basketball court? And people used to make fun of him because of his size. They had all kinds of names for him. In fact, his nickname in high school was Peanut. But he said those names never affected him because his father every day would say, you're a giant. You're a giant killer. You're going to do something great with your life. God's going to use you. You're going to touch the world. And he said by his own admission that when people would say those names on the inside, he would just laugh because he would think about what his dad said. Well, today he pastors the largest church in America and daily speaks to over 200 million people through his internet and broadcasts and podcasts because he never exceeded. The devil was trying to give that name to him that he would accept it so that he couldn't accomplish what God, but thank God he had a father that spoke a different name. And I want to tell you, you actually have a father in heaven. No matter what your father on earth might have said or what people said, you actually have a father in heaven like his father that's saying great things about you. You just have to tune into it. A minister told me one time he was in the middle of Africa in the bush, way far from civilization, no electricity, no running water, but they did speak English because they had once been a British colony, and he went to evangelize this tribe, and he was speaking to the leader of the community, and he started telling him about Jesus, and the man said, oh, he said, do you know Joel Osteen? And he said, what? He said, come here. And he went inside the little hut, and there was a bunch of people gathered around a hand crank radio listening to Joel Osteen. He said, our entire village has gotten saved listening to Joel Osteen. Aren't you glad he didn't listen to the naysayers and to the names and the people say? And so it is also for you. Maybe you're not everything God wants you to be because you've accepted a name that you don't need to have. And that's what I want to talk about today, is throwing off old names, picking up a new name that comes from God. You don't have to accept other people's names. What do you call yourself? What name have you given yourself? A pastor told me he was in, he shared the story that he was in Thailand, walking down the streets, trying to take in the culture, to understand it better, looking at all the shops, and he walked back by a tattoo parlor that had all the signs in the windows of possible tattoos. And one of the tattoos said, "Born to Lose." And that baffled him. He thought, now surely no one, who would ever want that? And he walked into the tattoo parlor and struck up a conversation with the owner and started talking. He said, "I'm just curious, these tattoo signs that you have in your window, are they all ones that you've used?" He said, "Yes, they're all ones that I made for somebody else." And he said, "Somebody actually had tattooed on their body, Born to Lose?" And he said, "Oh yes." He said, "I just did that recently. A man had me tattoo on his hand, Born to Lose." And the pastor mused with the man. He says, "What kind of person would have tattooed on his body, Born to Lose?" And the shopkeeper in broken English said, "Tattoo on brain before tattoo on hand." And that's a truth that I'm trying to get across today, that before something expresses itself in our life, it is something that we have accepted in our brain. Before you would tattoo it on your body, it's been tattooed on your brain for a long time. It's just reinforcing something that you've already accepted. King David, how many of you have heard of David, King David? David and Goliath, the David that killed Goliath. I think he's a very interesting character study in talking about this principle. We often think about David and his great exploits. He killed 10,000s of God's enemies, and he killed Goliath, and he killed the lion, and he killed the bear with his bare hands, and, you know, wasn't he this great leader? But, you know, the Bible tells us an interesting aspect of David's life that maybe we haven't taken into consideration that I think goes along with what we're talking about today. Let's start reading this right here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. What is happening is David, well, let me back up a little bit. The first king of Israel was Saul. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, anointed a man named Saul to be king. Saul was really not a man of God. He was not a man of great character, and God was disappointed in him. And he told Samuel, he says, I'm disappointed in Saul. I'm taking the kingship from him, and I'm appointing someone else king. See, the people picked Saul because he was big and because of what he looked like. Now, God said, now I'm going to pick somebody that I see. That's where he said, man looks at the outside, God looks at the heart. And he told the prophet Samuel, he said, I'm picking as king one of the sons of Jesse. And so he said, I want you to go to, I forget the name of the town where he was at, and he said, go get Jesse and tell Jesse to bring his sons out, and I'm going to pick one of the sons of Jesse as the next king. So Samuel did this, and he went there, and he told Jesse, he said, here's what we're doing, and I want you to bring your sons out. Now here, and I want you to show, to see, you know how we think of these great things about David, and he wrote these psalms, and talking about how he was great, but he wasn't brought up like that. He came up under a very different environment. We're going to see from a couple of passages that his fathers thought very lowly of him. His brothers thought very lowly of him. They didn't like him. He was actually the black sheep of the family. So the Samuel comes to Jesse and says, bring your sons out, right? And he has 8 sons, David being the youngest. Jesse brings 7, 7 sons out. He told him, he said, I want to bring all your sons out, and I'm going to pick a king. And here's what David had to grow up in. His father didn't even acknowledge him as a son. Didn't even bring him out after the prophet Samuel tells him and says, bring your sons out. He's got 8 sons, and he only brings 7. Who does he leave out? He leaves out David. He doesn't bring him out. So Samuel, he goes, and Eliab is the oldest, and he's a big, strong guy, and, you know, he thinks, oh, that's probably our next king, and he puts his hands and prays, and God says, nope, and on down the line, he prays for every one of them, and God says, nope, to every one of them. Now Samuel's a little confused. He said, you told me he's going to be one of the sons. He brought out his sons, and you said, nope. So he looks at Jesse, and he says, are these all your sons? And he goes, well, kind of. I do have one. This is what David, you see what's going on here? This is nothing new. This is something that just happened. This is the way he's been treated. Less than, diminished, small. You're not even my son. He's being treated like that. Some of you maybe been through life. Maybe you felt that way. You've been felt like this man, David, the way his father treated him. Didn't even bring him out. When the prophet said, bring out your sons, and he doesn't even bring him out. And the prophet says, well, go get him. He says, well, I do have one more. Go get him. And they go get him, and they bring him out, and he lays his hands, and God said, that's the man. That's the man. You can imagine the surprise of the family. You might be a surprise to some people when you actually find out who you are in God. People said you're never going to amount to nothing. When you just hang in there with God, God may have a different opinion and a different name for you. And his brothers were the same way. And we pick up that story right here in 1 Samuel 17. What happened was, God anointed David king, but Saul was still alive, so he had to wait. He had to wait. Sometimes that's the hardest part of fulfilling God's destiny for your life, is you have to wait. And a lot of difficult things happened to David in this waiting time. The king Saul tried to kill him many times. But also, Israel was engaged in a battle with an enemy called the Philistines, and they had a giant named Goliath who was 10 feet tall, weighed 800 pounds, and had a spear that he was able to throw that the tip of the spear, it said, weighed 16 pounds. So this is no small dude. And it says he was a warrior from his youth. He's a trained warrior from his youth. And he was taunting the armies of God, and Saul and all his army is afraid of them. And Saul comes out every day and says, just send one guy, and if he can beat me, we'll be your servants. And nobody will dare go out there, right? So this is what's happening after David has been anointed by God. And one day, David's father Jesse says, go take some food to your brothers who are in this army. And that's what he does. He's obedient. He takes some food and he goes to his brothers and he asks, what is going on here? And people tell him this situation that I just told you. David rises up in his heart and he's like, why are you guys just standing around? Why doesn't somebody go out and get this guy? Well, pick it up right here. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned. Instead of saying, brother, you want it? Yeah, go ahead and do it. I'm telling you, this is what he grew up in his whole life. Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart. You think it's the first time he called him that? No, watch this. For you've come down in order to see the battle. You got bad motives. You left the sheep. You just came over here. But David said, what have I done now? Didn't I just ask a question? When I see this, what have I done now? Have you ever felt that way? Like everybody's against you? This is not the first time this has happened. What have I done now? This is common practice. This is what he's put up with his whole life. Insolent, wicked, bad. His father doesn't acknowledge him. But see, David had something else on the inside of him. David didn't accept any of their names. You see, David went straight to God. That's what made David David. That's why God picked him as king, because David didn't listen to their names. He didn't listen to what his father said and what he had a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He went to his real father, his father in heaven, and to find his name. And that's what made him different. He didn't call himself what his brothers called him. That's a very important thing. He didn't pick up those names. He didn't tattoo born loser on his hand. He didn't say I'm a loser. He didn't say less than, wicked, small, too young, black sheep. He called himself strong. He called himself great. When he thought about himself, he gave himself the name of mighty, loved, whole, skilled, giant killer, child of the Most High God. He saw greatness on the inside of himself. More importantly, he saw God on the inside of himself. And that's why he was able to go against the giant. David took a different name. And you see in the end of the book of Samuel, in Samuel chapter 30, and during this time that he was running from Saul, the king was against him and tried to kill him. The king had given assignment to all his men to kill him. He turned the whole country against him. David has assembled 600 mighty men that were on his side. At least he had somebody on his side. And he was living in a little town called Ziklag. And they were living there, and he and his men had gone out to battle. And then when they had come back, Ziklag was burned to the ground. Their wives and their children were taken hostage as slaves. All their goods and possessions had been taken by this other army, the Amalekites, and their tents were burned to the ground. So here's these 600 men that have been supporting David, and they come back, and the Bible says they wept until they had no more strength to weep. Have you ever been like that? Can you imagine the situation? Your wives and your children have been taken as slaves. Your possessions are gone. And the Bible says they wept till they had no more strength to wept. And then it says, and then David was greatly distressed because his 600 mighty men spoke about stoning him. Imagine the situation. The king's against you. The king's army's against you. The country's against you. You can't even talk to your wife. Your kids are gone. And now the guys that you had confidence in, they want to kill you. Who does he have? He has God. And the Bible says in this situation, which is what made David David and what will make you what you're supposed to be, it says David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And I don't mean to say that people are against you, but there may come a time in your life when nobody believes in you. Nobody backs you. When everybody, let me tell you, no, people are fickle and people will turn. David's mighty men, they wanted to kill him. There may come a time when there's nobody to turn to. But let me tell you, there is always someone to turn to. There is a God in heaven. There is a Father in heaven who's never too busy, who's never on vacation, who never doesn't answer your call. He's always there. He's always for you. And let him name you. He has a name for you. And in that situation, he will speak to you. And David cried out. He couldn't talk to anybody but God. And he cried out to God. And God said, go, recover all. And David recovered his wives and his children and their goods and more goods. And he ended up more blessed. But he had to go to God. He had to get his strength from God. Amen. What happens a lot of time in life is we put too much faith in people and not enough faith in God. And people will always let you down. We're to encourage one another. Yes, we are. But we make mistakes. That's the whole problem. God never makes a mistake. God will never let you down. He'll never too busy. Learn to get your strength from God. God is your source. Let God name you. What name have you picked up that somebody put on you that is less than, that is diminished, that says you're not going to make it? I can assure you that's not a name from God, because God is God Almighty. He knows that one plus God makes a majority. He knows that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He knows that if you trust in him, you can run through a troop and jump over a wall. He knows that if you quit your name from him, you'll find out who you are. And he'll tell you great things about yourself and about your future. How do you see yourself? Maybe this Christmas season it's time to find your God name. Do you have the God name, or have you picked up a people name, a person name, a parent name, a friend name, an enemy name, a name that somebody put on you that's less than the name that God has from you? Maybe this Christmas season is going to be a good time, whenever you see this, the name Christmas, to think about your God name and make sure you have a God name. And lose your old name and shake off the past and look to the future and call yourself what God calls you. You know, this week, and as I was preparing this message, and I've been thinking about this for a few weeks, and then Friday, as I was preparing the message, I said, well, hey, maybe I need a new name. Maybe I need to get a God name. And I said, God, would you give me my God name? And you know, he spoke to me instantly, and he said, Overcomer, 1 John 5:4. He gave me a name in a scripture. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I took that name and I wrote it on a piece of paper and I put it in front of my computer. And every time I think, oh, we're not going to make it, and you know, this and that, and you get these thoughts, oh my goodness, I look at that and I say, oh no, I'm going to overcome. Maybe you need to get a God name. I don't know what it's going to be, but God gave it to me very quickly. He gave me that name. And, you know, maybe from time to time, the name will change depending on the adversities and the adversaries that you face. He might need to give you another name. That's why it's good to keep going to God. Ask him, what do you call me? What do you see? What do you want to tell me about my life? God wants to give you a new name by the end of 2019 that will carry you into 2020. That's why David said, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Where did that come from? Why did he write that? Yeah, it was under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but it also came out of the struggles of life. That's what he's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. My dad don't think too much of me. My brothers are ragging on me all the time. They beat me up and call me names. But the Lord is my shepherd, and that needs to be our cry. That needs to be our call. It don't matter what anybody has said about you. What matters is, what does God say about you? What's his name? How does he look at you? What does he call? The Lord is my shepherd. That's what he said. I shall not lack. And he said, then he says in the next verse, he restores my soul. Why? Because his soul had been beat down, discouraged, depressed, stomped on by all the people that were around him. And he said, he restores my soul. You know what? That's what the good shepherd does. He'll restore your soul. He'll give back what the devil has stolen. He'll give you the love and the encouragement that people that should have given it to you didn't give it to you. God will give it to you. That's why the most important thing, we say we do four things as a church: help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. The number one is the number one. The main thing is to keep the main thing, and the number one thing is to know God, because none of it works if you don't know God. You say, well, I do know God, but we need to know him better and better and better. And when you know God, he'll give you your name, and he'll encourage you when everybody else is discouraging you, and it doesn't look like you're going to make it. Go to God, and I'm sure he's going to tell you that you're going to make it, because that's the kind of God we serve. And David wrote that psalm. It takes on new meaning to me from his heart. The Lord is my shepherd. My daddy don't think too much of me. My brothers don't think too much of me. But I get my strength from God. The Lord's my shepherd. He's going to take care of me. Let God restore your soul. Let God give you your name. David's father and brothers named him weak, small, insignificant, loser, insolent, wicked. But he called himself victorious, giant killer, king, winner, bear slayer, encouraged, overcomer. What are you calling yourself? And what have people been calling you? Maybe people have told you you're less than enough. You're not going to make it. Maybe people put labels on you, clumsy. Maybe you put labels on yourself, ugly. You don't call yourself those things. Don't listen to the devil. Start calling yourself the things in the Bible. Start calling yourself overcomer, winner, more than enough. I'm a world changer. There's something for me to do in this life. God looks at me and he's got a good name for you. You need to give yourself a good name and get rid of those old names. Throw away those old names. That's the second thing, is to find freedom. You got to get freedom from the old names that are holding you back. Insecure, you know, fearful, you know, slow, whatever it is. If it's not a good name, it's not a God name. You need to get a good name on the inside of you. What's etched on your brain? Make sure that it's going to look good on your hand. Get a good name on the inside of you so that you have that working out in your life. Find God's name. Find God's name. What's on the inside of you? What have people put that you need to get out? And what does God say that we need to get in? What's in your noggin? What's on the? Has anybody ever? My dad used to always call your head your noggin. What's, you know? You got a thick noggin, and sometimes it saved my life. I needed a thick noggin. But what's in your noggin? What's on the inside? What's written on your brain? I want you to examine that and think about that. Several times in the New Testament, God would speak things over his son Jesus. I think this is a great example. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He called him beloved. He said, I'm pleased in him. And I'm sure that's the kind of name that God has for you. The kind of names that God has is winner, overcomer, champion, blessed, strong, teacher, prophet, healer, world changer. Throw off your new name. Find God's name. The way that you leave 2019 will determine how you enter 2020. I think it's very important to start getting rid of baggage that you don't want to have so that you can enter 2020. And one of the things you need to get rid of is a bad name. It's a poor name. It's a weak name. It's a devil name. It's a name that says something negative about you that was not there by God, and it's time to get get rid of that. When we lived in Los Angeles, we went out there in 1981 to start a church at UCLA, and a young man got saved. His name is Duffy. And he was a freshman, 18-year-old from Southern California. He was going to UCLA, and he got saved. He got on fire for Jesus. And when we first moved to Los Angeles, three of us guys that were part of the original team, we got an apartment right across from UCLA so we could be on campus as much as possible. But people started getting saved. Like Duffy was one of them. There was a group of young men that they wanted to get out of the environment they were living. And so after my lease was up in a year, I rented a 5-bedroom house in Santa Monica, about a mile from campus. And 10 of us moved into this 5-bedroom house. And one of them was this guy named Duffy. Duffy's about 6'5", 120 pounds, kind of gangly, clumsy guy, just a fun-loving, happy guy. But we moved in there, we had certain rules in the house, because you know, you got 10 guys, and things like you had to keep your room clean, make your bed, and don't leave your dishes in the sink, and things like that. And I can tell you, out of 10 guys, actually eventually grew to 15 guys. We just kept adopting people and bringing people in, but we started, it was 10 guys, and Duffy was one of them, and I was the head of the house, and we had these rules, and I had to enforce the rules and give fines if you left stuff. And I felt so bad, I was fining Duffy every day. He was always violating. He broke things. He was if you will give bad names, he was like a klutz. He was clumsy. He was gangly. He didn't clean up after himself. But he was a great guy. You had to love him, but you had to enforce these rules. Well, one day we have these meetings. You know, we have like 3 or 4 meetings a week. Actually, we'd have what we call outreach. The beginning of every semester, we had 6 weeks of straight meetings every night. We're evangelizing the campus, right? And we had this prophet come to town who was, a famous prophet, and he would go throughout our ministry and prophesy. And he came, and we had a meeting, and he was prophesying over people. Oh, there's amazing, great prophecies. Well, he calls out my friend Duffy, and he calls Duffy out. He says, I got a word from the Lord for you. And he starts prophesying what a great guy he is. He's so organized, and he's a leader, and he's just a person of excellence, and you're going to be a world changer. And I thought, and they used to stone false prophets in the Old Testament. I'm looking for stones. I was literally extremely upset. My blood's boiling. And he's going on and on about Duffy, what a great guy he is. And the more he's talking, the madder I'm getting. And I'm sitting there in the meeting, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I got to talk to the pastor. We got to have this guy stoned or he castigated in some way. He's a false prophet. He's saying all these crazy, these are untrue things. I know the guy. I live with him. It's the opposite of what he is. And God spoke to me in that meeting and said, don't say that. I prophesy how I created him, not how he is. Yeah. Woo! It was like, oh my goodness. God was prophesying through the prophet what he intended for the man, not where he was, not... See? Yeah. Well, we used to have a house meeting once a week. We get together, talk about what's going on, pray for each other. Well, about 2 weeks later, we have the house meeting, and at the end of the meeting, Duffy says, I'd like to say something. He says, I'm going to be changing my name. I don't want anybody to call me Duffy anymore. He said, my real name is Scott, and I want everybody to call me Scott. And he just went on, you don't know what's going on the inside of people. You just look at people and judge them wrongly. And he started telling the story. He said, I've always been real tall and uncoordinated. He said, my dad was a professional golfer. He was a great athlete, and he was always discouraging me because I wasn't coordinated. I wasn't an athlete. I couldn't play the sports he wanted me to play. So he'd take me out golfing, and he said I would hit the ground. And he said, in golf, when you hit the ground, you're called a duffer. Like you hit the ball incorrectly, you hit it the wrong way, you hit it. And he said, that was the name. He said, you're just a duffer. And they started calling me Duffy. And he said, I knew what that name meant, that I was less than, that I was uncoordinated, that I didn't meet his standards. He said, I've lived out that name my whole life. I've lived it out because that's the name they gave me. He said, I don't want you to call me that name anymore. He said, I heard what the prophet said. He said, and I know that what he said is true, and that's my destiny. He said, I've got to change my destiny. And he said, it's going to start with a new name. Nobody, please call me Duffy ever again. I want to tell you, it's hard not to call somebody when you've known them, you know. And then we forced ourselves. We said, oh, we see what's going on. And we changed his name. We started calling him his given name. We started calling him his name. And I'm going to tell you, I never saw such a human transformation in my life over the next few weeks. I never saw somebody turn into another person progressively over weeks and months. And I would say if you just looked at him like about a month later, I don't know how this happened, but his face was always covered with acne. He's 18 years old, right? And I would say that Duffy, he always had like at least 100 pimples on his face. And somehow, a month later, his face completely cleared up. Wow. He started wearing shirts. He always wore like tattered T-shirts and surfer shorts and flip-flops. He started wearing slacks. In that time, if you were really cool on campus, is what they called preppy, the preppy look. I know most of you don't even know what that. And all, but you saw his clothes change. He started wearing shirts with collars and buttons. I didn't even know he owned one of those. He started wearing pants. He started wearing shoes. He started actually combing his hair. He never combed his hair. He never. And all of a sudden he comes like, wow, he's got nice hair. He combed his hair. He started looking. He put on weight. He looked like a different person. He actually became everything that the prophecy said. He became a leader. He became the star model of the house. He'd tell other people, don't leave your dishes in the sink. I'm going to clean them up for you. Let me help you. He started being one of the best examples for the years after that. He was one of the leaders of our church. Because he changed, God changed his name. God spoke something. God saw something. And I'm telling you that whatever you're going through and whatever weaknesses that you have in your life, I can assure you, I promise you, if you go to God today and ask him for a new name and you ask him for a prophetic word and you ask him to tell you how he sees you, he will not see you as clumsy, as gangly, as a duffer, as messy, as insignificant or less than. He's going to tell you you're a champion. You're a world overcomer. There's greatness on the inside of you. You're a prophet. You're a teacher. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. There's great things for you to do. If you go to God, he's going to tell you great things. And I want to encourage you, go to God and find out from God how he sees you and how you're supposed to be. I want us to grow. I'm going to ask you to do that this Christmas Eve. Make it part of your time with the Lord. That's why it's so important. Number one is knowing God. Know God. Spend time with God. Hear the voice of God. I'm telling you, God thinks highly of you. God thinks great things of you. People will say bad things. People will say negative things. The devil's trying to destroy you. He's at work day and night trying. He knows your potential. The devil knows in the spirit your calling, your destiny, and where your anointing is. And he's done everything in his power to keep you from being all that God created you to be. Now you have to do everything that's within your power to be all that you were created to be. Throw off the old name, pick up your new name. Spend some time with God. Let God speak to you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. If you're alive on planet Earth, there's something for you to do. There's people for you to impact. There's a relationship with God waiting for you that is yet to be tapped into. But you got to get your new name. What name do you need to shake off? Some of you know. As I'm talking, you say, yeah, that name's been put on me. And we tried to be very careful about this when we were raising our girls. We understood this principle. Never say, like if they knock something over, don't ever say, you're clumsy. No. Just say, you should have put that glass over there. Don't give them bad names. So as parents, I want to let you think about this. Don't give your kids bad names. And if you have, go repent and give them a new name. But you in your life, what name has been put on you that you need to shake off? It's not a God name. And you need to be like David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe your parents are long gone and you can't go to them. You can't talk to them. Don't even expect that. But just go the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Every one of us has a Father in heaven who's willing to talk to you today. Go to him and get your new name. What's your new name in Christ? Every time you see a Christmas light or a Christmas sign as you're shopping, I want you to think about this. That Jesus has the name above every name, and think about what's my name. What's my name? What's the name that I need to pick up? Think about that name. Think about your new name. Look at this in John chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. Jesus speaking to his disciples. I think he understands this principle. Well, I know he does, but I think he's addressing it here. And he says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you after a little while. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. See, Christmas is not about something that just happened. It's about something that's a really reality today. He lives today. Because I live, you live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Think about that for a second. This is what Jesus is saying, how this Christian thing works, how Christianity works. Jesus said, I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. That's the name. That's your name. See, if he's in you, all that negative stuff can't be in you. You need to get rid of all that negative stuff. You need to think about the name. You need to think about this reality, about this relationship that's going on. That's what Christmas is all. Christmas is all about that because Jesus came as a child, lived the life that he lived, went to the cross and defeated sin, I'm in him, he's in me, I'm alive in him. I have a new life. I have a Father that loves me, a Father that loves me. Some of you had great parents. That's awesome. Some of you didn't even know your parents. Some of you had parents that were hard, they were harsh, and maybe they gave you some bad names, but I tell you right now, you have a Father in heaven who has a name for you. Go to him, get that name. Throw off that old name. Christmas made all this possible. He's in you, and you know what? He is a giant killer. He is a winner. Has someone thrown their name on you? Has someone named you weak? Too short, too tall, ugly, clumsy, failure. Maybe you need to rename yourself victorious, healthy, wealthy, strong, smart, wise, accomplished, winner, overcomer, anointed, successful, rich, prosperous, confident, bold, soul winner, blessed of the Lord, impossible to curse, son of God's right hand, child of God. The future is up to you, and the future will be determined about the name that you've written on your brain. What's on your brain? What name have you accepted? What name do you need to get rid of? Let's just pray right now. Father, I pray for everybody that's here today, Lord, and I pray for people like myself that have picked up the wrong name, that have picked up a weak name, that have picked up names and said, you know, yeah, you're less than, you're not enough. You know, you're going to struggle. Yeah, you're just fearful. You're not going to make it. There's times when you're not going to make it. Lord, I just pray for everybody right now, every head bowed, every cup. I just want to ask you this. If you know right now, if there's a name on your mind that you know that you've picked up that you want to get rid of, would you just raise your hand right now and say, I want to get rid of that name. Father, you see these hands right now. I break every lie of the devil off of these people right now. I break every assignment of the devil. I break every negative word that's been spoken against them. I break its power and I command it to fall to the ground, and they will not keep that name. They're going to lose that name right now in Jesus' name. And I ask you right now to put into them your name, onto their spirit right now, onto their brain, right on their brain right now. A new name, a good name, winner, overcomer, beautiful, happy, fulfilled, blessed, more than enough, world overcomer, giant killer. Give them a new name, Lord. Put the name on the inside of them, the name that's above every name. Jesus, that if nothing else, they can just say, I'm a child of God, I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me, and that's my new name. If they don't even know another name, that's my new name. It's Jesus is on the inside of me. He's on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've got a new name. Just say it on the inside of yourself right now. I've got a new name. It's a good name. It's a name from God. It's a blessed name. It's a holy name. It's a healthy name. It's a winning name, because I'm a winner. I'm a winner with God. God on the inside of me makes me a winner. I'm on his side. He's on my side. I'm a champion. I'm a world overcomer. I'll overcome the temptations of this world. I'll overcome the difficulties. I'll overcome every trial, every test that comes my way. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to be under. I'm going to be above. I'm a winner because I'm with God, and God's a winner. He's always a winner. He holds the keys of everything in his hand, and he's on my side, and I'm going to make it. Give the Lord some praise if you believe that. And right now, I got a very important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I think so, hope so, not sure. Well, listen, that's a very important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Can you know that you're going to live forever? Do you know you're going to go to heaven? Yes. The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, how do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again, which means there comes a time in your life you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes and he lives on the inside of you, makes you into a new person. Going to church doesn't make you Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you Christian. You must be born again. If you've never done that, if you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God, and I want to get back on track with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, and you're making a decision today to go forward with God, just slip up your hand real quick. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. You say, I want you to include me in that prayer. I want to make a decision to follow Christ. I want to be sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. You all put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. That's awesome. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer, on the connection card, there's a little box, and if you check that, I'll send you some special materials in the mail. At the end of the service, there's going to be prayer teams up here to pray with anybody that needs prayer. If you don't have a Bible, come on up and tell them. We're going to give you a Bible and put your name in it. Don't forget to put your connection card in the offering basket as it comes by. Here's my offering scripture. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus talking said, give, and it will be given to you. And that's what Christmas is all about. We give because he gave. Give, and it will be given unto you. They will pour into your lap, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I like that promise because sometimes it's hard to give. It is. Sometimes it's hard. It's like, I really need. And God's given us a promise, though. You cannot outgive God. He said, give, I'll give it back to you. It's a faith statement. There's three ways you can give. You can give in the envelope. You can also give through the website. You can also text to give. And there's information on the screen for that. Don't forget the Christmas offering. If you're giving the Christmas offering, just note on the check or the offering that this is a Christmas offering. Let's pray over the blessing, the offering now. As we give, Father, I pray over this offering. I ask you to bless these gifts. We speak over these gifts to win souls, make disciples, and help people know you. And I ask a blessing on the giver, which you promised your disciples in Mark chapter 10, which is a 100-fold return in Jesus' name. Now I speak this blessing that you had Moses speak over your people. I say they were blessed coming in, they're blessed going out. In the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up, blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals, everything that they have, I command the blessing upon them. I say the enemy might come against them one way. If he does, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They shall lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to pray for the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. Everybody that believed that said, amen. God bless you as you give.